One of the most difficult decisions a government has to make is whether to send the nation to war. In Australia, that decision is made by Cabinet without parliamentary debate. There have been many calls over the years for that to change, and today the Medical Association for the Prevention of War is calling for a new debate on this issue. The author of Sending Australians to War joins me now. Paul Barrett is a former Secretary of the Department of Defence and Director of the group Australia 21. Paul Barrett, welcome to Breakfast.
Morning, Fran.
Paul Barrett, why should Parliament approve the deployment of troops and not the government of the day?
Oh, there are a couple of reasons, Fran. One is that the quality of decision-making, surprisingly, decisions to go to wars like Vietnam and Iraq are taken very quickly within a very small circle of people. The second is to ensure that by carrying it through the parliament, that soldiers going to war know that the majority of the public is behind them, that the elected representatives of the Australian people have decided that this is an appropriate deployment to be on. And in the cases of Iraq and Vietnam, that's been by no means sure.
That's true, though. I know John Howard and other prime ministers have always said that it's the heaviest responsibility a prime minister bears, whether to send Australian soldiers to war. So there's no sense that prime ministers take this duty or this decision lightly.
Well, they say that, but they actually make these decisions, as I say, very quickly. And they often seem to find it easier to resist Australian public opinion than to resist the arm twisting of our great and powerful ally. Menzies, in a memoir, said that the decision to go to Vietnam took 5 minutes.
But perhaps it was clear.
Well, in hindsight, it wasn't quite as clear. The point is, these decisions, when it comes to making these very important decisions, there's minimal consultation with intelligence agencies, senior officials, and senior military. And this often leads to very poorly defined objectives. We're not quite sure why we're going. We're not quite sure what we're meant to be doing. We're not quite sure what end state we're trying to achieve. And part of the quality of decision-making is to define all those things clearly. The first question a military person would ask when being told about a deployment is, what end state are you trying to achieve? Politicians tend to focus on the first step. Military focuses on where do we end up.
And I understand when you talk about, you know, a small circle of people making the decision in a cabinet, broadening that circle certainly has advantages. And if there truly is minimal consultation with intelligence agencies and senior advisers, that's clearly not drawing on all the advice around. But are you necessarily going to get a better decision if you widen the circle to the entire parliament, given the politicking that goes on in any parliament? I look at the current parliament at the moment.
We're not seeing parliament at its best at the moment, but I think if it comes to the point of putting people in harm's way, I think you would see some more adult behaviour. One of the things that the problems with the present system is that everyone in Parliament can take refuge behind the fact that the decision is already made. They can say, oh, well, the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister and Defence Minister decided we'd go on in supporting this if it ever comes to a parliamentary debate, and it didn't for 9 years in the case of Afghanistan. But if it does come to a parliamentary debate, I'm just supporting my party. Mm. Now, I think it's quite a different dynamic of the decision-making. If everybody in Parliament knows that how they vote matters. If they vote for a resolution to send Australians to war, it will always be on the record that they were in favour of doing this, and they can't shelter behind their leadership. Now, they may all vote along party lines, but that's a choice they make.
And should it be a simple majority? Under your plan, should it be a simple majority if it came to a parliamentary vote, or a higher margin, 75% or some other threshold?
No, a simple majority. That's the way we do things in Parliament. Senator Ludlam's legislation, which was treated with enormous disregard by both major parties, said a resolution of both houses would be what would be required. Now, you can look for other models, but I'd be content with a simple majority.
Paul, one of the key arguments against Parliament having the say is that a fully informed decision is based upon sensitive classified information that can't be disclosed widely to the entire Parliament. Is that a legitimate concern?
No, for two reasons. One is the senior desk officer in the CIA wrote, first of all, a journal article saying that the decision to go to, the US decision to go to Iraq had nothing to do with the intelligence assessments at all. And he's since published a book on how the decision to go to war in the US never relies on intelligence assessments. And the second point is the key issues are rarely as sensitive as that. And I guess the third point I'd make is there's a very long history in Westminster tradition, at times of national peril, of bringing the opposition into the picture and telling them. The senior members of the opposition should be security cleared to have these discussions. And if the Prime Minister can't persuade the leader of the opposition, then by definition, this is not an obvious case for going to war.
And just very briefly, other countries do this?
Well, the UK is moving in that direction. Gordon Brown, after the trauma for the UK in Iraq, said that the Parliament would be consulted before future deployments, and various European countries have moved in that direction.
Okay.
And, of course, the Congress moved in that direction after Vietnam, and so a president these days has 60 days in which to get the support of Congress. So
All right.
Can invade a country like Grenada and get out again in 60 days, or you have to get congressional support.
Paul Barrett, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Paul Barrett is a former Secretary of the Department of Defence and Director of Australia 21.